Tonight we come to, as I see it, to the deepest point of our search, and it's concerning Jesus, the Word of God. A couple of lectures ago, when speaking of the exalted Jesus, we spent a whole evening looking at the concept of wisdom in the Old Testament literature, and how the New Testament, particularly the hymns, the liturgical music, poetry of the New Testament, liked to see Jesus in the imagery of the wisdom literature as being the final, perfect, the exalted Jesus, the final and perfect image of God's whole purpose in creation, and reflecting perfectly like a mirror God's own being. Well, there's a very close connection between wisdom and word. The wisdom of God we saw then is, well, God himself, really. God, as revealed in the order of creation, in the order of history, in the order of the Torah, or the law. I think the idea of order is very closely related to wisdom. It's to do with patterning, right order in a way. And wisdom, therefore, is that reflection of God that we find when things are made, or are as they are made to be, in the image of God, reflecting God's divine design. And so we can well imagine then them speaking of Jesus, the exalted Jesus, as the perfect, perfectly designed creature of God. Word is God again, but God as bringing this order into existence. It's the active, it's the word that issues from God, who is wise. His word comes from that wisdom. His word brings into effect things that reflect that wisdom. His word creates in God's image. His word teaches through the prophets the ways of wisdom. Word, or the Greek logos in the literature, pre-New Testament literature, the simplest way to look at it, and I think accurate, is that word is, they recognize that isn't see God, the transcendent God, but the word was God himself as God communicated with us, whether through nature, history, or event, or prophetic word. It was God as God reveals himself. So you might put it simply by saying the word of God is God as self-communicating. Yes, I think that's sufficient for the concept word. A couple of texts from the Old Testament to just speak on that for a moment. In the beginning, says Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God said, let there be light. Well, that's the first expression of the word of God. God speaking, determining, acting, bringing about, and what he brought about was creation, reflecting his wisdom. Isaiah 55:11, the prophet, speaks of this word of God that was coming into history all down the ages. The word that goes forth from my mouth, says God, does not return to me empty without carrying out my will and succeeding in all it was meant to do. It's clear from practically every chapter in the, every lecture that we gave in the first part of our series, that people received Jesus' word as the word of God. And that he himself understood that he was a prophet with a mission to reveal God's will and through his ministry to bring about the reign of God. Mark says quite simply in chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus was preaching the word to them. And Luke in chapter 5, verse 1 has a simple statement. The crowd was pressing around Jesus listening to the word of God. Word, not to Jesus' word, but to the word of God. So there was something about Jesus' person, and we've seen a lot on this already, something about his words that brought about, as people saw it, the movement of God and the revelation of God. However, my desire with you now is to actually focus tonight on one particular document, the prologue to John's Gospel. It's important to begin with, if you'd like to look at it, you do have a copy on the reverse side of that sheet, and it's in everyone's Bible, to chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. It's important to begin with to make a comment on the translation I'm going to use with you tonight. The prologue is written in Greek, so you can just see if these concepts make sense to you first. The Greek word for word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. It's a noun. It's a noun in the masculine gender, and it requires to be replaced by a pronoun of the same gender. Pronouns, as you know, are used when you don't want to keep using the noun. Now, this poses no problem in Greek. When, however, we translate into English, we do have a problem because we're not accustomed in English to using masculine or feminine gender for what we call impersonal nouns. Logos, which for us would be an impersonal noun, the word, is replaced in Greek by the masculine gender pronouns. The equivalent in English is he or him. Normally, of course, if we were using a pronoun for word, we would use it, wouldn't we? So how do we translate the Greek pronoun as it keeps appearing in the prologue of John, is the question and the problem. In our treatment of the exalted Jesus as the fullness of God's wisdom, we observed that the practice had grown up in the later Greek books of the Old Testament, that is to say, especially in Alexandria, but generally where Jews were influenced by the Hellenist culture, of personifying wisdom. Behind this so-called personification lay the recognition of the presence of God in the world. Out of respect for the transcendence of God, they spoke of God's wisdom, God's presence, God's spirit, God's law, God's word. But at the same time, and this is a key point, they recognized that they were really speaking of God himself, according to the different ways in which God manifested his presence and his power in their lives. Thus, behind what appears to be a literary device of personification lies a profound faith in the personal presence of the Almighty, the immanence of God. Thus, God's wisdom is really God himself as wise. God himself as reflected in, for example, the exalted Jesus, the true image of the Almighty. Likewise, God's word is really God himself as declaring his will and communicating his life. We find, for example, in the Book of Wisdom, a statement, when peaceful silence lay over all, and night had run the half of her swift course, down from the heavens, from the royal throne, leapt your all-powerful word, carrying your command like a sharp sword. So there the all-powerful word that's leaping down from heaven. At first glance, it looks like personifying an impersonal word. I think a truer understanding of the text is a recognition that it is God himself who is leaping down, as it were, to earth, but they daren't say that of the transcendent God, so they speak in terms of word, angel, spirit, law, and other terms to speak of God.